Welcome back to our next edition of the Mike Kara Radio Show, Fantastic Florida. As always, probably broadcasting from Ocoee, Florida, USA, planet Earth. And my next guest is Mr. Tony Belmont, who is so many great things. And first of all, Tony, we want to talk about this National Comedy Hall of Fame that you founded, and we want to start with that. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you started all of this?
All right. Well, actually, I co-founded it.
It all
began in 1989, actually, at a card game at the L.A. Friars Club with Milton Berle, Sid Caesar, Jan Murray, Maury Amsterdam. And I used to say four icons of comedy and one regular guy, and I was the regular guy. Plus the fact that Maury Amsterdam tended to cheat a little bit at cards. But during the card game, it was brought up that there was no museum of comedy history in the United States. I doubted that statement, and Maury asked me to look it up, do some research. I did. I couldn't find anything. I couldn't find anything that had the history of comedy. So these fellows felt that it was very important that the history of comedy be preserved. And I looked into it, and one thing led to another, and eventually we trademarked the name and started to move forward to honor the great comedians. And we started doing inductions on national television. We inducted Minnie Pearl, George Carlin, Laurel and Hardy, and many of the greats. And they now are on the Wall of Fame, which is at the National Comedy Hall of Fame Museum in Holiday, Florida.
Oh, wow. And we also want to talk about, Tony, that you're having now, or you had the 2020 induction class is coming up, or?
Yes, that's right. And there's a whole slew of names on there. We don't pick who gets inducted. The induction names are out there. We allow the general public to voice their opinion of many of those names, but also the main voters on all this stuff is the Friars Club in New York. The membership of the Friars Club vote on who gets inducted, similar to the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown has the Sports Writers Association vote on who gets inducted. It keeps it honest. It keeps it clean, because this way the museum, myself, I don't vote.
Oh, okay. So do you actually have a special dinner or a ceremony at the museum, or?
Well, we don't have it at the museum yet. We've had it on national television. For example, we did Minnie Pearl. It was 13 million people watched that show. It was 2 hours. Every great country artist was on the show. We did it live at the Grand Ole Opry. Afterwards, we all had there was a great big celebration. George Carlin was done in Vegas. We did it at the Stardust Casino. The audience was Jack Carter, Rita Rutledge, Debbie Reynolds, all kinds of celebrities. And then after that show, we had a terrific big party. So that's usually the way it works. It's usually done at somewhere where we can film it, somewhere where we have the space and room, and the museum doesn't have that much space right now.
Oh, so tell us, Tony, a little bit about this museum. So this is something that you have a lot of exhibits or a lot of things on hand for visitors to look at? Or?
There's hundreds of exhibits, literally hundreds. There's more exhibits on comedy history than anywhere. As a matter of fact, there really is no other comedy history museum to match this in the country. The old Lucy Museum up in Jamestown eventually changed its name and started doing a little bit of comedy history, and I thought that was great because I was there in those early days and gave them some advice. But this is the official Museum of Comedy History for the United States as far as the National Comedy Hall of Fame goes. We're the only ones that induct, and we're the only ones on television. If you look up on YouTube any Comedy Hall of Fame inductions, you'll see us, and we inducted them. Normally, we like to try to get a sponsor involved, and I'll give you an idea of in case there's somebody out there that would like to sponsor one of these shows and get the tremendous publicity that goes with it. We are talking about inducting the Harlem Globetrotters, the original team, the original basketball team, into the Hall of Fame. The guys have agreed. I've talked to we have Curly, Zorro, all the remaining members of the original team. Anybody that likes baseball know these guys are tremendous, and they're fantastic, and And we thought it'd be a fun thing with tongue-in-cheek to induct them into the Comedy Hall of Fame because they advertised themselves as the crown princes of basketball.
Oh, wow. So one of the things that we want to talk about is where you're located, the museum. So the museum is in Hollywood, Florida, is that right? Or no, Holiday.
Holiday. Holiday is on the west coast of Florida. It's just a little bit north of Clearwater Beach, about 20 minutes to a half hour north of Clearwater Beach, right next to Tarpon Springs. It's a beautiful little town in Pasco County. And the museum, on the first floor, we have the museum with the artifacts and exhibits and a theater, which is showing this month Abbott and Costello. Then we, on the third floor, we have the banquet hall where we do some of the events. We have a comedy school. We have a comedy theater that once a month shows comedians that are on the road. And we have escape rooms. So there's a lot to do here. The building, slowly but surely, it's a 54,000 square foot building. Little by little, it's becoming a complete entertainment center.
Wow. And one thing that I understand, Tony, that you yourself had an opportunity, I guess, back in the 70s to interview some of the legendary comedians. Is that something you have at the museum? Yes.
Some of those interviews are here. Actually, we have all the interviews, and they will be the general public will be able to see them once we open the library, because that was one of my pet projects, was to have a library for students of comedy and people doing research and anyone that just loves comedy. We have 2,000 books. We have thousands of videos and tapes, and this would be available to people here at the museum in a separate room called the Comedy Library. But I was hired by the Smithsonian back in the early 70s to tour the country for a project called The American Experience, and I interviewed hundreds of the great comedians in their homes, just myself and a cameraman, and those interviews are all on tape. They're all in Washington, and of course we have copies here at the museum. So some of the exhibits, for example, when you go in front of the Jack Benny exhibit, it's all been edited down so that you don't have to watch the entire interview, but you'll see the highlights of that interview, which is Jack telling you about himself and a little bit about Mary, his wife, and then he, of course, all these videos do a little bit of comedy too, because we want you to learn something, but we want you to have a good time.
Wow. So you had that opportunity to meet all these different comedians. I'm sure, you know, some were more cooperative than others, but it seemed like everyone was pretty friendly. Everyone wanted their story out there then.
Well, you know, I met them under the most ideal conditions. First of all, you're meeting them in their home, so they're very relaxed. It's not like being on the Johnny Carson show or Larry King. They know there's a camera out there with their live audience, and they also realize that their host, be it Carson or Jimmy Fallon or somebody else, that they also have to get in their jokes and stuff. When I talk to them in their homes, they're the star. I do very little talking. Let them tell me the story, and it's just absolutely wonderful. And of course, when you're talking to people like Jack Benny, he walked into the room with holding Mary Livingston was his wife, and he's holding her hand, and I'm in the chair with the cameraman behind me, and he sits down and says, "Okay, well, let's begin." And I said, "Well, before we do, Jack," I said, I noticed you were holding Mary's hand when you walked in here. I thought that was very romantic of you." And he says, "Yes, I always hold her hand. If I let go, she goes shopping." So these are the kind of setup lines. No matter what I said, if it was George Burns or him or any of the others, I found myself being the straight man many times in these interviews.
Oh, wow. And you did that for a certain period of time then, or?
Well, it was supposed to be for a short time. Yeah. It was supposed to be for just about 3 or 4 months, and extended into almost 3 years.
Wow.
Because there was so much traveling to do. Imogene Coca was in Connecticut. Art Carney was there. Had to go out to Vegas to talk to many of the artists out there. Went out to L.A., meet with Flip Wilson, Timmy Rogers. It just about, you know, bounced all over the country to wherever they were and to go to their homes. So we probably interviewed, my guess is probably close to 350 of the greatest comedians of all times.
Wow, that's great, Tony. So you mentioned about editing. I mean, how do you edit something like that? I mean, do you get to a point where you kind of know what the audience or the people want to hear? Or?
It's very difficult when you're, especially, and I keep using Jack Benny as an example because he's one of my favorites. But if what happens is you're taking about 2 or 3 hours worth of interview. And you're then sitting in the editing lab, and you're trying to come down to something that makes sense, tells a little bit about them, but also that somebody might get a few laughs out of. And with somebody like Jack Benny, it was difficult because Jack Benny was one of those comedians that one story, he'd tell you the story, which was funny, but then the second story related to the first story. So it's hard to edit down that into a 3-4 minute sequence, but we did, and we did it with all the comedians, and so it was really terrific. But we have hours of film on each comedian, and then we took that and just edited it down into something that was educational but also fun, and that's the idea with each one of these videos. When they come to the museum and they stand in front of like the Three Stooges, they're watching the Three Stooges do something funny, but then they're also hearing the narrator say they really hit each other and they were sore when they went home, and he's explaining how this all came about, what they did and how it affected them.
Wow. So that's great that there's so many, exhibits. And so, I mean, how did you develop all these exhibits? Was it just through time or?
Mostly through time, yes. This museum's been around now for almost 30 years, and fans have most of the stuff. We did get things from the comedians. Phyllis Diller was originally on the board, and she gave us a lot of her costumes, and many of the friends that of Phyllis sent us items. The fan club of Laurel and Hardy, they talked to their members. Their members sent in Stan Laurel's hat, his actual hat, and wonderful articles about them, wonderful artifacts about them. So the fans donated most of the stuff, but there's hundreds, literally hundreds of items here at the museum.
Oh, and I understand, Tony, that I don't know how much through the process, but I understand that you're thinking about maybe doing a comedy school with this, or?
Well, this comedy school is open. It's here.
Oh, it's already here. Great.
At the building. It's not expensive at all. We also have books that they can buy called Becoming a Stand-Up Comedian and how to Be Funny, and all these books that have been written by great writers on the art of comedy. So they can buy the books and they can attend the school. And the school is run by comedians. As a matter of fact, the first one that I was involved with, the teacher was Shelley Berman, who is a tremendous comedian and a wonderful comedy writer, and he actually conducted the class, and we did that in Vegas.
Okay, Tony, you know what? That sounds great. What we are going to do is we are going to take a quick break, and we will be back. My guest today is Mr. Tony Belmont, who is from the National Comedy Hall of Fame in beautiful Holiday, Florida. And he also is a great rock and roll producer, co-produced a show with Elvis and so much great music, and has traveled all over the world. And we're so glad that Tony is here today to tell us all about his career and to tell us about this great National Comedy Hall of Fame, because we've interviewed almost 80 local comedians in the Central Florida area, as well as about maybe 50 or 60 national comedians. So this is right up my alley. So, Tony, thanks so much for being here today. You are listening to the Mike Kara Radio Show, Fantastic Florida, as always, probably broadcasting from Ocoee, Florida, USA, planet Earth. And please stay with us for our next segment of this edition of our program today. The Sanford Music Festival returns to the West End Trading Company on Saturday, March 7th, featuring over 30 bands on 4 stages, vendors, and food trucks. Brought to you by OrlandoBands.com, the local music guild, and the Ladies 327 Supper Club. Tickets are on sale now at sanfordmusicfest.com. It's an all-day event, and it starts at noon. Sponsored by West End Trading Company, Bandbling, the Mike Kara Radio Show, Ron Holland Productions, the travel superhero, El Camino School, and School of Rock. Well, welcome back to our next segment of this edition of the Mike Kara Radio Show, Fantastic Florida. As always, probably broadcasting from Ocoee, Florida, USA, planet Earth. And my guest today is Mr. Tony Belmont, who is, a great producer of music, and he did a lot of great interviews of legendary comedians in the 70s for the Smithsonian Institute, and he's co-founded since 1989 this National Comedy Hall of Fame. So it is fantastic, and some of the comedians that will be inducted this year, Joan Rivers, Eddie Murphy, Will Ferrell, they have TV shows like Saturday Night Live they're inducting, so it's going to be a great thing. So you definitely want to check out this National Comedy Hall of Fame Museum, and it is something that is right here in Holiday, Florida. So we're glad that Tony is here to tell us all about it. And thanks so much, Tony. We truly do appreciate it. Thanks so much. Okay, Tony. So one thing I also wanted to mention, that it looks like that you have actual performances. Looks like on Valentine's Day you're going to have a special comedian there.
Yes. They have comedy theater. It's going to be right here at the building. I don't know if I mentioned it earlier. The building's at 2435 Highway 19. In Holiday, Florida, and people can either email us, and the email is comedyhall, comedyhall@aol.com, or they can call the museum at 727-9 and the word giggle, G-I-G-G-L-E. So it's 727-9-GIGGLE.
And what I'm wondering, Tony, do you get busloads? But I mean, do you get comedians or comedians of all levels? I mean, coming to the museum and talking to you and.
Yes, we get beginners, people that are just interested. We also get every once in a while we get a big surprise, like we have sometimes comedic actors coming, like Dwayne Hickman. I don't know if you remember Dwayne Hickman.
Yeah.
Dobie Gillis in the 60s. And Dwayne is coming. He'll be here, and he's just going to surprise anybody that's walking through the museum. Mimi Hines is coming next month. She's the Broadway star, but also was a member of Phil Ford, Mimi Hines, a great comedy team. And Chevy Chase, we're hoping we'll see Chevy in May or June. So they never know who they're going to run into when they come here.
Okay, Tony. So I wanted to talk also about that you have been involved in rock and roll and been a rock and roll producer, and we understand that you produced, it was Aloha from Hawaii, Elvis's special. Was that it? Or?
I was a co-producer on that show. Colonel Parker had hired me at the time. Yes, because the museum is a labor of love, but my livelihood is I'm the president of Alan Freed Productions, which is the oldest rock and roll company in the world. I went to work for Alan Freed back in the early days when we did the Brooklyn Paramount and the Fox. Some folks called me from a TV, public television, as a matter of fact, called me, and the fella said, "We want to do a story based on all your adventures in rock and roll." And I said, "Well, there were other fellas that were probably better for you to talk to." I said, "Like Dick Clark." And he said, "Well, Dick's dead." And I said, "How about Wolfman Jack?" And he said, "He's dead." I said, "Dr. Jive?" He said, "He's dead." Frankie Crocker, dead. Clay Cole, dead. Bill Graham, dead. He said, "You're the only one left alive." And it was quite a moment for me at that point to realize that my trip to fame is only because I outlived all my contemporaries. But I knew all those guys. I was their partner on many, many shows. And according to this guy, he said, "I'm the only one left that actually rode the bus and could tell the stories and was there when Buddy Holly was doing the radio interview." And so it's interesting. I'm very proud to have been part of an amazing part of music history.
And we also understand that there's a very interesting story about you actually receiving a, I guess, a personal poem from Colonel Parker. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. Well, Colonel Parker, I liked the colonel. He's what you call an old-time promoter. He began in Tampa, Florida, actually, and he was the manager of Hank Snow, a great country artist, even before Elvis. And he, for helping him with the Aloha concert, because he was old, what we call old school, and I was already looking at satellite concerts and things like that, which the Elvis concert was. He gave me a nice picture, autographed picture of himself, but he gave me a personal poem that he had written for Elvis, and I thought that was wonderful, and because he never really gave that poem to anyone, and I read the poem and I liked it, and it was terrific, so I have that poem.
Oh, fantastic. Do you remember how it goes, or...?
Well, I could get the poem, but I don't know if I'd take up too much of your time reading the poem on the air, but I'd be happy to share the poem with any of your listeners. I mean, if somebody wanted to write to me and we just wanted to pop the poem, I would be happy to make a copy of the poem and send it out there. But if you want, I'll read it to you. It's called My Memories of Elvis, a poem by the Colonel. The songs he sang at home each day pleased his parents in every way. This humble home with love to spare, the three together went everywhere. Then came this man, his name was Sam. He recorded a song for Elvis' mom. That's when everything began. It was Blue Suede Shoes and Blue Moon 2, along with Midnight and Moody Blue. It was Elvis here and Elvis there, and teddy bears were everywhere. It was Don't Be Cruel and Such a Night, and he sang Mama, That's All Right. He was all shook up in G.I. Blues and Girls, 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 and Potluck 2. Kissing cousins and roustabout, and then we knew what he was all about. The boy became a man, and he carried on to make us happy with his songs. We will play your songs from day to day, for you really never went away. Sincerely, the Colonel.
Oh, that's great. So that you have that. So those are the kind of the memories that really make it all worth it and make it all special, huh?
Right. But you know, an interesting thing is I just read you that poem. And your listeners are the first ones to have ever heard that poem. He never distributed the poem. He never gave the poem to anyone. It was just a personal thing. He wrote it for Elvis. And so this is the first time, actually, that I've ever read the poem on the air. So it's nice. People can get a different view of the Colonel. You know, you always heard some derogatory things. He took a big commission and everything, but Elvis never objected to that. Elvis always said if it wasn't for the Colonel, he never would have been as big as he was.
Okay, Tony, so we understand that you produced a lot of great shows, and I know there's so many, but one of the ones that I wanted to talk about was the Billy Joel concert. And can you tell us about that experience?
Russia. We've done Europe. We did England many times, and I took Bill Haley and the Comets to England. But we wanted to do Russia, and we were talking about different shows to bring to Russia. So we did that one in Moscow, and it's a whole different environment than what we were used to in the U.S. I mean, there was some parties that run the theater business in Moscow, and you can't rub them the wrong way. You've got to make sure that everybody is taken care of, and that you paid for everything. And so it was a different environment than what we were used to. But the Russian people themselves were fabulous. The Russian women are absolutely drop dead gorgeous. You know, it's funny because before I got there, one of the road managers had asked me, he said, what's your impression of what you're going to see? And I said, well, you know, when I first got there, I was expecting the Russian women to look like a little old lady with a heavy coat, a curtain on her head, and walking into the snow with galoshes unbuckled and wind blowing and Dr. Zhivago playing in the background. But what I saw was totally different, that the Russian women are absolutely beautiful. They dress up all day long. It could be the middle of the day, and they're in high heels and beautiful dresses. And I was very impressed with the Russian women as well as the Russian people. We get a slanted view here in this country from the papers. Russia and the U.S. would do well to become good friends because that's what their people want. But the newspapers always tend to make it sound like we're enemies.
Wow, so that's great, Tony, that you had an opportunity to visit, you know, several different countries. I mean, was there any other countries that stand out to you that you produce in? Or?
Well, we did quite a few of them. We did Heidelberg in Germany, and that was really terrific because at that time we did James Brown and the Flames. Now, everybody knows James Brown, and everybody knows he's a tremendous performer and everything else, but the ones that really know his history know that he goes back to a fabulous band behind him called the Flames. And when they first started out, the Flames were as terrific as James was. And matter of fact, before James would come out on stage, the Flames would walk across the stage and get into their position with their horns and guitars and everything. And I'm remembering this from the Apollo Theater, by the way, in New York. And as they would walk out, some of them would sprinkle a little sand with their left hand running along the side of their leg on the stage. The stage, of course, was all parquet wood. Well, when James danced and he came out there and he could swivel and swerve and jump around on the stage, he was dancing on that sand, which made him slip and slide even easier. So that was one of those things that I really enjoyed. And we did that in Heidelberg at the university. And, of course, the Germans never saw anything like James Brown.
Wow. So a lot of different musicians. So, I mean, with these musicians, did you personally, interact? Did they have personal requests, or how did that work?
Well, I knew them all, and some of them we grew very close with. I traveled with the Drifters, with the original Drifters. Bill Pickney was the bass, that beautiful bass voice on White Christmas and such. And you get close. You get close. When I traveled with the Platters, I remember sharing a hotel room with Tony Williams, the great ballad singer, did Only You and songs like that. And you get back to the hotel, and all of that goes behind you. You're just two guys talking about music, and so it's a wonderful experience to have been with all those people on the road, the Shirelles and Chiffons and Freddie Cannon and all the rest of them.
Okay, Tony, you know what? That sounds simply fantastic. What we are going to do is we are going to take a quick break, and we will be back for our very last segment of this edition of the Mike Kara Radio Show, Fantastic Florida. And my guest today is Mr. Tony Belmont, who is the founder and works at this beautiful National Comedy Hall of Fame, National Comedy Hall of Fame Museum. And it's a great place to visit. It is an organization that actually inducts people into the Hall of Fame. And it's also a museum and is in beautiful Holiday, Florida. And we're so glad that Tony could tell us about this National Comedy Hall of Fame. Also talking with Tony today about some of the legendary music concerts he produced, including Aloha from Hawaii, the Elvis Hawaii show, and we're so glad that he was able to tell us a little bit about this poem that he personally received from Colonel Parker. So that's exciting, too. So we're so blessed and honored that Tony could be here today, my guest Tony Belmont from Holiday, Florida. You are listening to the Mike Kara Radio Show, Fantastic Florida, as always, proudly broadcasting from COE, Florida, USA, planet Earth. And please stay with us for our very last segment of this edition of our program today. The Sanford Music Festival returns to the West End Trading Company on Saturday, March 7th, featuring over 30 bands on four stages, vendors, and food trucks. Brought to you by OrlandoBands.com, the local music guild, and the Ladies 327 Supper Club. Tickets are on sale now at SanfordMusicFest.com. It's an all-day event, and it starts at noon. Sponsored by West End Trading Company, Bandbling, the Mike Kara Radio Show, Ron Holland Productions, the travel superhero, Elka Camino School, and School of Rock. Well, welcome back to our very last segment of this edition of the Mike Kara Radio Show, Fantastic Florida. As always, proudly broadcasting from COE, Florida, USA, planet Earth. My guest today has been and will be for our last segment, Mr. Tony Belmont, who is co-founder of this National Comedy Hall of Fame. And within the National Comedy Hall of Fame is a great museum that everyone could check out. And even national and international touring comedians will visit, whether that be announced or unannounced. So you definitely want to check that out. And they're having their inductees, and they're having all sorts of interesting comedians. It looks like some that should be in there. So you know, and they've got just about every comedian in the Hall of Fame, and they've got just about everybody's represented in the museum. And of course, they have the famous wall. You know, it's one thing; it's a great honor to be in the museum, but then they have the additional wall of fame. So to get on the wall is a great great thing. And this is such a great match for me, because for the past, I don't know, like 5-6 years, we've been interviewing so many great comedians from the local Central Florida area. And I know a lot of them are listening to this right now. So if you have a chance, you know, go to, I mean, maybe we'll get a road trip. We'll get some craft beer in a van or a bus or some prison bus or whatever they got for rent, maybe minus the prisoners. And we'll just have a great old time going to this National Comedy Hall of Fame. And you know, right now you should check it out. Go to the website and plan a day there, and I think it's going to be great. And also Tony, as we mentioned, has produced some great rock and roll shows, and a great rock and roll show producer. So, and we're so glad that Tony could be here today telling us all about what he is doing. So again, my guest is Tony Belmont. And I want to thank Tony so much for being here today. We really do appreciate it. And we also want to thank each and every one of our radio listeners for being here, because it really means a lot that I could share my love and passion for what I do, which is bringing you Tony's love and passion for what he does. And you know, if you've got a great guest that you've liked to have on, would like me to interview, you can do that by simply going to MikeCara.com, and you can give me a call, and you could, you know, send me an email. So let me know. And I want to say that this show is actually a co-production with MikeCara Media Group and Zap One Productions, and we're so glad to be teaming up and being able to do some of these interviews together. We don't do them all together, but we're glad that we have this partnership, and we hope to bring you some great interviews. And one other thing before we get back to Tony is, if you'd like to become a Tweet Peep, it is so easy to do. All you have to do is go to twitter.com/MikeCara73. That's Mike Cara. That's Twitter/MikeCara73. And that's my name and my birth year. And you definitely want to check that out. So, for example, what I am going to say is, I'm going to say I just interviewed Tony Belmont, and then I'm going to say the show with Tony Belmont, I'm working on that show. And then via Anchor, I am going to say the show with Tony Belmont is all done. And we want to welcome everyone from Anchor and from all of our platforms. We got Google Play. We've got just about everything and anything. Apple podcasts. We're on iHeartRadio. And we really appreciate the support, and we appreciate everyone from France and America and all these great countries for tuning into this show. So again, my guest is Tony Belmont, and Tony, is such a pleasure and honor that you could join me today. Thanks so much. We truly do appreciate it. So now today, Tony, what you're doing is, you know, you're working with the National Comedy Hall of Fame, and you mentioned that you are also working with a production company, or?
Yes, we produce the award shows for television, and that usually requires a sponsor. You're looking for an investor or sponsors to come to the table, but they've all been successful. We've done George Carlin, we did Mimi Minnie Pearl, we did Bob Newhart. We've done all the great ones, and now we're focusing on what may be coming this summer. One of the ones that I think, personally, that I think should be inducted, that is one of my favorites, but again, I don't vote, but that's Eddie Murphy. But I believe that the Friars Club in New York, I think that when that comes up, Eddie will get voted in very easily. And again, we look for an investor or sponsor, a company that sponsors something like that, and then we put on the big event. They get all the publicity and have a lot of fun being there with the celebrities. And for us, it's a chance to be able to do it first class with the right amount of money and have a great time.
And talking about this National Comedy Hall of Fame, it looks like you also have an international comedian. So that's great that this goes like worldwide, then, the honoring then.
Yes, yeah. We have people like Sinuel Wences, the great Spanish ventriloquist. As a matter of fact, this month in the theater we're doing Abbott and Costello, but next month we're doing a show called The Greatest Ventriloquist, which is the story of Sinuel Wences, who was the longest running act in show business. The man started back at the beginning of 1907, 1908, and he still was doing the act 100 years later at the Friars Club in New York. So he's an extraordinary example of what a ventriloquist can do.
Wow, and it looks like you honor TV series as well then?
Yes, we're branching out into every area of comedy. We want to honor great television comedy shows, and we do have an exhibit now in the museum called the 50 Great Comedy TV Shows. We have an area called the Great Ladies of Comedy. We even have one called the Road Comedians, and this is to honor the comedians that may not be known by everyone, but they're pretty well known among the comedy club circuit. They travel the country. They're headliners, so we honor them in a wall as well. And if there's someone out there that has those kind of credentials and we don't have them on the wall, we're more than happy to have them send us their stuff and put them up there. There's a fellow from that was right around your area in Orlando named Tommy Blaze, a Florida comedian that was absolutely terrific. Same thing. This fellow belonged at the very tippy top. For some reason, just never got those exact breaks, but still was absolutely terrific to listen to and very, very funny.
And tell us a little bit, Tony, about this wall. It's a wall at the museum of all comedians, or how does that work?
Well, you know, just being in the museum itself is an honor. When people ask me, is this person in? Is this person in? They're all here. Every national comedian you've ever heard of, from Jim Carrey to George Carlin, all the way back to Weber and Fields, they're all here. And that's an honor. But to be on the wall, that is the hardest comedy award to get. There's only about 23 on the wall, and they had to go through a lot to get up there. You're talking about names like Jackie Gleason, W.C. Fields, Laurel and Hardy, Abbott and Costello, Milton Berle, Sid Caesar. These are big names in comedy history, and they're the ones that are on the wall. So you come into the museum, and the first place you go is into the world of radio. You see the whole history of radio and the great radio comedians. You then see the great ladies of comedy, the road comedians, and then you enter the wall of fame, and they're all up there in beautiful plaques. And we have videos of those people accepting those awards on national television. And then you go into the main museum, and the main museum is a time tunnel. It takes you from the first comedy known, which is the Greeks, as far as a theater, and it goes through what we call the Yankee comedians. Those are the early American comedians. And then from there, you go through vaudeville, and you're just slowly going through time. Early theater, early stand-up, film, and by the time you're finished, you'll be at the Saturday Night Live and Second City and the latest comedians.
And you mentioned about, you know, Dwayne Hickman, you know, coming to the museum, but do you ever have, like, other national comedians come, or do they come announced or unannounced to visit you, or...?
Well, we have some that are already scheduled to come, and unannounced, yes, you do wind up with somebody that'll come by that's totally unannounced. But the museum hasn't been in this location very long, so we don't have a history of people coming. But they all are coming. Like I said, just a few to name was Mimi Hines and Chevy Chase and some of the others that are coming. So we're Dwayne Hickman, you know, a lot of others, and yes, we're expecting quite a few to just drop in and surprise us. Pat Cooper, I understand, from the Friars Club in New York. Pat, when he comes down here, he said he wants to stop in and see, you know. Of course, they're curious. You know, they want to see their own exhibit. They want to see themselves up on the wall.
And I'm sure they don't mind if people want to take pictures and get autographs. You know, it makes them feel relevant, huh?
Yeah, it does. You know, and they like to be in the limelight. You know, comedians are an interesting group. They're different from the rock singers and anyone else I've ever known. They're a group all their own. And as a matter of fact, people say, "Well, I don't remember. I remember some comedians when I was young. If you remember the kid in high school or in grammar school or college that used to fool around, wasn't paying attention to the teachers, getting into all kinds of trouble, that fellow probably grew up to become a comedian. Jack Benny was a good example. Jack Benny used to daydream in school and said he got into nothing but trouble. Jim Carrey was another one. Robin Williams, you know, so they would." They started at a young age and wanted to make people laugh, and eventually they became adults and still made people laugh.
Okay, Tony, so I want to mention just a few more things about this National Comedy Hall of Fame, including, now, you have a website people could check out?
Yes, www.nationalcomedyhalloffame.com. So that's www.nationalcomedyhalloffame.com, and they can go on to the website.
Okay, and if you don't mind, again, telling us exactly, we know you're in Holiday, Florida. I'm going to get it. Holiday,
yeah.
Florida.
Holiday, we're in beautiful downtown Holiday, Florida, in Pasco County. And they can call the museum. The museum is open from Wednesday to Sunday, 10 to 5. And the museum phone number is 727-9 and the word giggle, G-I-G-G-L-E.
Oh, and now as far as the, you know, the shows you have, then those are like special admission. Those are special in addition to the...
It depends. If it's the theater show, like this month we're showing Abbott and Costello, there's no charge for that. That's part of the admission come into the museum. If it's one of the comedians up at the theater upstairs, that's a separate admission.
Oh, and what are some of the comedians that you have in this theater? Are they local comedians or national or regional? Or?
They are road comedians. They're usually headliners that travel the country, and they play at different comedy clubs around the country, and this is one of the stops. I don't directly handle that because I'm really up to my nose with the museum and with working on the television award shows, which is what I produce, the television show. So the theater, there's a manager for that, and he books these road comedians that come in. But, of course, they're headliners, and they're all very good.
Oh, so you produce all these television shows then, huh?
Yes, I produce the shows, and people can see that when they come to the museum. Some of the videos will actually show me walking out onto the stage with the plaque. I don't spend a lot of time on stage. I always felt that the people don't really want to see me. They want to see the comedian and the event, the show. So I just spend a little bit of time on stage long enough to tell the audience how hard it is to get this award, and then at that moment to step aside and we present the award to the comedian. We even give an award to the best play in America. We did that at the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts in Washington, and it's interesting because my guest for that show was going to be John Kennedy Jr. He was going to help give out the award, and the show to get the award was Sheer Madness, one of the longest running comedy plays in America. Started out in Boston. And, of course, about a month or so before the award was given, John Kennedy died in a plane crash by Martha's Vineyard. And the last minute we scrambled to get someone to take his place, which was very difficult. Who do you get to take the place of John Kennedy Jr.? You know, it was very difficult. But so we do give other awards. That's the Charlie Chaplin Award, and that goes to the funniest play in America.
Oh, okay. Now, as far as, you know, local comedians or road comedians that might be interested in working with the museum, do you find them or do they find you?
Well, they find us. And they're very welcome. You know, we love comedians, obviously. That's our life. So the comedians that come, and we get a lot of comedians that are looking to get into comedy, not so much the experienced ones. They come by to just enjoy the museum. But we find a lot of young people, guys and girls, that come by and say, well, I want to break into comedy. I want to do an open mic night. What do I do? Well, we keep a list of comedy clubs that allow them to do open mic. We have books for them to learn. We talk to them. We encourage them. And that's very rewarding.
Oh, great. Do you have we mentioned that, you know, you have the comedians, but I mean, do you have any other special events at the museums or any dinners or banquets? Or?
Yeah, we're going to be starting to do that. We have in March, we have a Johnny Cash show at the dance floor. We have a comedian, obviously, that's going to open the show. And we have a gentleman from Nashville that looks, sounds just like Johnny Cash. And he's going to do a Johnny Cash show. So that's done as a fundraiser. So we will be doing more music there. We're going to be doing music out in the parking lot probably next July. We're talking about doing possibly the Beach Boys out in out. We have a huge 5-acre parking lot, and we're talking about possibly doing the Beach Boys for around the 4th of July or Memorial Day.
Oh, great. Okay. Tony, and before we go, is there any, but we know that the best way probably to help support the museum is to come, you know, pay the admission, go to the events, but is there anything else our listeners could do to help support the museum or comedy or?
Well, you know, we're a nonprofit, so of course we're open our doors to donations. Coming to visit the museum is a big plus because the more visits, the better. We need to try to get a grant from the Endowment of the Arts or from the state of Florida, which is very difficult. So the more people that come to the museum, the more it opens that door that we can get some grants. Just coming to the museum would be wonderful. If they have any artifacts or comedy memorabilia, they can send it to us. They'll get a tax benefit letter from us because we're nonprofit. But we just like to see them. They need to come by, come to Holiday, come see the National Comedy Hall of Fame, the official museum of comedy history.
Okay, Tony, again, we really appreciate your time. So first of all, is there anything else you'd like to mention, whether it be your own career or the museum, before we go here?
No, we're just having a lot of fun with this, and we're looking forward to meeting more and more people that like comedy as much as we do. Thank you for having me.
Okay, definitely my pleasure. And oh, if you could give your website for the museum one final time.
Yes, the website is www.nationalcomedyhalloffame.com. And if they want to email about anything they've heard or any questions they have, comedyhall@aol.com, comedyhall, one word, comedyhall@aol.com. We'll be more than happy to give them advice or head them in a direction or tell them what books we have or anything we can do to help them.
Oh, and you have books there at
yes.
The museum?
We have books for sale in the museum store. Books like one's called Everything You Need to Know About Stand-Up, the Comedy Bible. You know, these are all books that are there to help somebody get into the field of comedy, or if they're in the field of comedy, it gives them some clues on how to get to the next step.
Okay, thanks so much. My guest has been Tony Belmont, and you've been listening to the Mike Cara Radio Show, A Fantastic Florida, and please catch us again next time.